Okay?
Praise. So, I believe the Lord's already spoken this morning through the prophetic words. I just want to pick up what the Lord is saying. I believe we are coming into a shift in the spirit for the church in general, the body of Christ, where his foremost passion, I believe, he's laying on the heart of the church is the mission. And we've needed the discipling, we've needed the training, we've needed all that sort. We've needed that, and we do need that. We've got to continue to do that. But his emphasis is on mission, souls. Jesus came for souls. Amen. And so I think there's a shift happening where God is starting to mend the net. And all of a sudden he's going to ask us to thrust it on the other side to see a harvest reap for his glory. Amen. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that net. Amen. So if there's anything that needs to be untied in me or it needs to be mended in me, please mend it, Jesus, as the master fisherman. So be cast to wherever he needs me to be. Amen. And the, in the midst of it all, that will bring forth people, men and women of God, that will have a word in due season, I believe. Just like a man in the Old Testament called Moses will have a word of deliverance. And Moses was that man. And if you were in yesterday's meeting, the leaders, that is, some of this you've already heard, so bear with me a little bit more at the end. Moses is that type of man. He was probably one of the greatest men of the Old and New Testament, a true pastor prophet, a true pastor prophet. He was a man that didn't have such a good beginning. If we know the story of Moses, he didn't have a good beginning. In fact, he had a lousy beginning. He was a young man, a young baby that was thrust on the waters in a cradle or an ark, the old King James will say. Thrust on the waters and hoping that someone would find him by his own mother. He was picked up by an Egyptian woman who was a princess who adopted him and called Moses. His own mother couldn't even call him by his name. She named him. His name Moses means to be drawn out. Amen. And I believe God is drawing people out in this hour to bring a word of deliverance to him. And immediately his sister, anyone remember Moses' sister's name? Miriam. Miriam was following her little brother. And she said, do you want to look after him? She says, go and find someone. So mum got him back. Mum got him back. But there was a conflict in Moses' life. Bear with me because I need to give you a bit of history before we move on. There's conflict in Moses because he was known to be a Hebrew, but he was raised an Egyptian. He knew he was Hebrew. He knew that all the time he was Hebrew. His mother would have told him he's a Hebrew. He was raised with a Hebrew woman, yet he was the ways of the Egyptians. He had an identity problem. He was a part of two worlds. Amen. One woman was serving Jehovah God. The other woman was serving many gods. There was conflict. Amen. There was conflict in his life. There was not just conflict in that area. There was conflict also in rejection. There was conflict also in him believing what other people would him. What's the word I'm looking for, love? Presumption. He had a problem with presumption. But his biggest issue in his life was unbelief. And you're looking at me like, oh, Moses and unbelief? Yes, Moses had unbelief. Moses had unbelief. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. Todd, my message is pick it up because there's a shift. Exodus 4 and 1 says this. Then Moses answered. Now, don't forget, he had been 40 years a man in Egypt. He killed a man. He killed a man. He killed an Egyptian. He defended an Israelite. He killed an Egyptian. Acts chapter 7 verse 25 says that he presumed that they would understand, that they would be delivered by him. But did they understand? No, they didn't. In fact, they dobbed him in. He had to run. So he ran. Now he's a vagabond. Now he's a traitor. Now he's left his own country. He's in a place. He met a Midianite woman. He married a Midianite woman. He had a couple of kids. And all of a sudden, at the age of 80, how many people over besides John Brown? How many people over 80 here? So he's not finished with you yet. And he's not finished with him yet while he's still got breath. Amen. He has got a plan and a purpose for all of you. He was 80 when the plan and purpose was revealed or come into fruition. Never ever stop because you think your days are getting numbered. No, 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 no. Every time new decade, I'm 61, right? But I'm one. I'm in my sixth, but I'm still one. You'll always get a one back. Doesn't matter what decade you're in, you can always start with one. So you'll always got a fresh beginning. Never think God's finished with you yet. Amen? So we can revitalize our youth. I might be able to do as much as what I did in my youthful days, but I can revitalize my youth. I can think big. Amen? I can dream big. Praise the Lord. So Moses answered. He saw a fire, something attracted him. 80 years old. 40 years in a wilderness, 40 years in a desert, just dealing with his issues, 40 years of rejection, 40 years of pain, 40 years of presumption, 40 years believing people didn't understand him, 40 years thinking the dream was dead, 40 years thinking he heard God and now he's thinking he didn't hear God. 40 years is long. Most Christians might last a day or a week. Well, God didn't bring that through, so it must be God. No, 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 you just got to keep waiting. If it's the true word of the Lord, you can hang your hat on it. I'm saying that again. If it's a true word, you can hang your hat on that word. And in his time and in his season, it will come to pass. Amen. Moses had to wait 40 years and he saw a burning fire, a bush. And he says, I'm going to go and see what that is. Footnote and hint, never run away from the fire. Never run away from the fire is not a bad thing. The fire is a good thing. The fire of God is a good thing. It will take away that which is shackling you. It will bring illumination to your sight, give you a different perspective, and you will see God in a different light after you've seen the fire. Amen? Or gone through the fire. This is him being exposed to the fire. Then God speaks to him, Moses, Moses. Amen? Then he said, 4:1, then Moses answered him. Actually, God had said to him, Moses, I want you to go back to your people and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Straight away, God had told him what the vision was. God had told him his whole purpose in life was going to be this. He knew that when he was 40. He knew that. He knew that he was going to deliver a nation. He said that. They did not understand that deliverance would come through me. Acts chapter 7, verse 25. He understood that, but it wasn't the time for it. Amen. Here's Moses. Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. I want you to look at the number of times he said suppose. Suppose they will not believe me. Suppose they will not hear me. Oh, listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord appeared to me. Just suppose. Because in a lot of times, even though you've got vision, even though you've got purpose, if you ever went through a desert experience, ever went through rejection, you ever went through presumption, you ever went through things in life, and all of a sudden abandonment in your life, sometimes them desert places, them places you've been in, and the time period of those things can rob you of belief, can rob you of faith. And all of a sudden, that which was, so mightn't be anymore. Anyone ever experienced that in their life? Just suppose God didn't. Suppose God didn't say that. Maybe suppose God didn't say this. What if I was living a lie? What about all that? And sometimes what comes around us is unbelief. We love him. We'll come to church with him. But because of situations, scenarios of life, and because we haven't seen what we thought we should see, and we walked in presumption, by the way, Psalm 19 says, is a sin. We have no right to think what other people think. You're not in their head to think that. He says it's a sin. You can't think what they think that they should think, because you'll think wrong, because you are not them. So therefore, what happens is we get robbed. We get robbed of faith. We get, our belief system can wane. The Bible says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Belief is to deal with me. It's a me issue. It's not a God issue. It's a me issue. All things are possible to him who believes. What is belief? What is belief? If you believe all things are possible to him who believes, what is belief? If I want things and all things are possible to me, what is this belief I must walk in? Is it a faith? Is it a hope? Is it a promise? What is belief? So I've got to understand that sometimes the devil will try and nip at my root system to make my belief system wane. Amen? The prophet spoke this morning. You and I have to start have confidence in what God has said about you. Belief is really what God is saying about you and what he said about himself. Amen? I have to have faith in what he said about himself. And I have to have a belief in what he said about me. Is that true? So he undermines who I am in Christ. He undermines what God has said about me. And all of a sudden, I can get into this assumption, maybe I suppose, or suppose God might do this. And I have doubt, amen, and unbelief, which is the opposite of faith. He robs me, and he rob you. My Bible says that God is a God who cannot lie. I can do all things through Christ too. What's first? The eye of the Christ. What's first? The eye of the Christ. I can. Paul had a confidence in himself, but he declared who the source of the confidence was. But he had a confidence in himself first. I can. I can. I can. I can do all things through Christ, my source and my strength, who strengthens me. But you have to have a confidence in who God has sent you, because when your confidence arises in the things of God, he can start using you and you will see God in a different light. It will cause you to reach out in faith further than what you've reached before. Because you're doing something, decreeing something you have not yet seen. But you have a faith and a belief that God has said it. And if God has said it, the confidence and belief is he cannot lie. Amen? But the devil will want to keep me in this system of unbelief where, what if it doesn't happen? I suppose we better have plan B. I suppose we better, you know, just think you don't get that. We'll just think of this as well, but we'll believe for that. So we have this vacillation happening in our heads. Amen? So he said to him, this is the Lord, what is that in your hand? What I want to ask you this morning, what have you got in your hand besides a baby? God never has given someone everything he needs to fulfill the mission. If God's placed a mission on your heart and a mission in your spirit, he has equipped you already to fulfill the mission. What you and I have got to see is what's in my hand. He said, what's in your hand? God never addressed his supposers. Nowhere will you see God address his supposers. He never addressed his weakness. He never addressed his lack of faith. He never addressed anything. He said, what God? I don't care what it is. If I can get a hold of it, I can make it whatever I need it to be. Just ask the little boy with his lunchbox. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Fed 5,000. What is hand? He said to Moses. What is in your hand? You know why he asked him that? And I've written it underneath there. I've done so much work for you guys. It's unbelievable. If you've got, then you won't be searching for what you haven't. If you know it. If you know who you are, you know who you are not. I'm going to say that again. If you know who you are, you absolutely know then who you're not. If I am more than a conqueror in Christ, I am not defeated. If I can do all things through Christ, He strengthens me, there's an opportunity in every place He's put me to be. Amen? God never addressed His personal weakness. God just wanted to show the little that He had in God's hands was enough. I don't care how much it is. If it's one talent, two talents, a five talent, God has given you something in your life. I don't care if it's preaching. I don't care if it's encouragement. God has gifted you with something on your life that will bless and bring forth in people's lives a deliverance. And every one of us is different. Because not every one of us is an eye, not everyone is a leg, and not everyone is a kidney, and not everyone is a liver. All different, yet we need each other. Amen? We need each other. And the Bible says this, and He will give more honor on the uncomely part, the unseen part, yet the necessary part. Amen? Thank God you've got a liver. Thank God you've got a heart. He said, what's in your hand? He says, a rod, a stick, just a stick. He says, throw it down. So he threw it down. And it became a snake. And Moses, like the rest of us, he ran away. Now, I mean, if I had a stick here and a snake jumped, I reckon most of you would jump on your chairs by running out that door. You can say amen. I mean, it's being honest. Ah! Ooh! Yeah. Then God says to him something that's profound. He said to him this, Moses, God is now asking him to have dominion over his fear. God is now asking him to have dominion over his fear, because if you allow fear to be a facet of your life, it will eventually have a root system to every facet of your life. Pick it up. Of course, what does he do? Now faith is arising because he's hearing the voice of God. He's out by faith. God didn't tell him it was going to turn back to a stick. God never said that. He reached out by what? Faith. His belief system is starting to now connect. He reached out by faith and it became what? A rod. He picked it up by its tail. Why? Why the tail? Why not the head? Bible says, you are the head and not the... That's right. The head has authority over the tail, not the tail authority over the head. Pick it up by the tail and it became a rod. He needed that. Now Moses had this revelation in his life because he would need the rod later on. He'd need the rod later on. Amen. Moses runs. We have to deal with that fearful of, or fear will keep make me keep supposing in life. Oh, well, what if God, I suppose? Oh, I'm no. And we call, oh, well, Jesus, I don't know. And really it's fear. Fear to step out. Fear to take a hold of control. Fear to have confidence in. He had to have a confidence in. He did not know what that snake was going to be. Amen? What is in your hand? In your hand this morning. The mission, I believe, has begun. Exodus 4 verse 17 says this, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do signs. Use this rod. When you see the hand of God, when you see the power of God operate in your life and it starts bearing witness and you see change and you see the change in your own life from a faithlessness to a faith, from unbelief to a belief, because you dared to blood and step out and pick a hold and take control of that which you are fear of, guess what? That is your testimony. That is now your rod. That is now your stick that you can wave in the devil's face and say, devil, you are a liar, because God has already done in my life. In private, He's done it in my life, and I saw it with my own eyes, and guess what? Nothing in hell can rob me from it. This is my rod. This is my staff. And you will need it over and over again with every battle you face. You have to remind yourself and get a confidence in your God of what he has said. And he will give you a testimony of it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I need a testimony in my life of this and the power of God. God has done a miracle in your life. Somewhere, God has done a miracle in your life. But the devil will get you in a place of suppose because of the desert or because of what's happening, or the abandonment, or the way I've been brought up, or it doesn't matter. God makes sure that when he asks you to fulfill a mission, he will equip you. And God might not necessarily speak to you about the issue. Just expect you to deal with it. He might just expect you to deal with it. It's called maturity. Well, Jesus, you don't know they've done to me. I've heard this. Well, maybe you heard wrong. Maybe you're now in presumption, which is sin. Now all of a sudden you're in the sin because you presume you don't really know. And so the devil's just robbed you of belief. Amen. Where's my book? Over there. The mission has begun. What was God's mission for Moses? Go before Pharaoh. And what was the words he used to cry out? Let my people go. God is looking for Moses at this hour to see a people delivered. I want to say that again. God is looking for a people in this hour, a Moses generation, a Moses company of people that has a word in season. And all it has to be is, let my people go. How could he say that? How did Moses say those words with such confidence that he could stand before a king, and not just a king, he was worshipped, he was a god to the Egyptians. How could he stand before these false gods, this king, with an authority and a power? Let my people go. Because he experienced it in his own life. He was delivered. He was set free. He had been let go of the things that were holding him back, his fears, his presumption, his supposes. He had now a faith and a confidence, and he could stand before any Pharaoh of hell and say, let my people go, because I've experienced the deliverance, and God wants that deliverance for every man, woman, and child on earth. Amen? Let my people go. That should be our prayer. That should be our prayer life. Let my people go. Amen. I believe the mission's begun. God's getting ready his company. You're going to experience a fire in your life. And it might burn some stuff you don't like. It might touch some areas in your life you don't agree with him. But I love how God, one-on-one, just him and God. Moses, come up here. You just got to be willing to go up. You got to be willing enough to say, Lord, these are my faults. Lord, these are my weaknesses. These are the areas of my unbelief. These are my supposes in life. Then all of a sudden, God will make you remember what is in your hand. What is in your hand? Because when you take a hold of fear and overcome it, you have your testimony. You're delivered. Amen. That same stick of faith, that same belief that had now a testimony of power in God, and it's a power in God in your life where you can start demanding and commanding and speaking to the atmospheres and speaking to the principalities and powers, let my people go. Amen. And the first part of anything that begins of deliverance is in your own house. Let my people go. You have no right. I've experienced the deliverance of the Lord. Amen. What is in your hand? What is your hand? Let my people go, because the same God I've said that. Exodus 12 and 2, turn there with me, please. When you get a confidence, when God is, you get a hold of God, when you get a hold of the mission of God, God's into deliverance. Who believes that? God's into deliverance. God celebrates the ones and the twos. He celebrates that. All of heaven stops because one gets saved. All of that. But, I mean, 3,000 got saved. Then 5,000 got saved. I believe God's into nations and thousands. Amen. I don't believe he just wants some frozen chosen. I believe he wants multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes delivered and set free. He wants families restored. He wants marriages healed. Amen. He wants the hearts of the fathers turned to the children, the hearts of the children turned to their fathers. He wants a wholesome healing in his body. Amen. Revelation, Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying this. This is the month of your new beginning, of months. It is the first month of it to you. I want to declare this morning, this is the day of new beginnings. Your God just can give you a word. On just his word, he changed times and seasons. He changed the calendar to suit him. God can change whole calendar to suit himself. God can change every appointment you think you're going to make. And you can, in the twinkling of an eye, you start today. This is your brand new day. Don't forget yesterday. Forget the months and the years. What he was saying is, not be conformed to the seasons of the world. I'm bringing you into a new season. And your time frame and everything is built on the kingdom, not upon the earth. Amen? Who wants a new beginning? Amen. I want a new beginning. God had called you out and changed your season and rearranged your calendars with just a word. I believe this is the word. God is looking for a people, men like Moses, men who are awakened by what is in their hand, who will take a step of faith and allow their past to dictate to their future. But they will speak to their past and say, you're healed. You're healed. You're dead to me. You're over. Nil comprehendo. You're finished. I can't change you. Not change me. I have a new beginning. I'm in the time frame of God. And I want to see the mission fulfilled. And God, I thank me the strength and the faith, because every born-again believer has been given the measure of faith. Don't tell me you haven't got the faith. God has already placed the faith in you. You've just got to exercise it and reach out. A measure. Sorry. I thought it was in the book. My wife goes to the specifics. I just say Old or New Testament. She'll tell me the verse, chapter. Anyway, let's go back. A Moses generation. What's happened? All of a sudden, Moses started declaring things and decreeing things to the people of God. They started believing that. And all of a sudden, they start seeing it by signs. I believe we're going to come into a time where the church again is going to move in such time, signs and wonders and demonstration of the power of God that will change the hearts of those who do not believe it. It will change the faint-hearted to a belief system that they will have an eye again. Signs and wonders were starting to happen. He had to prove that. He had to do the two signs and the wonders to convince the of Israel. His stick went into a snake. His put his hand into his bosom and it came out a leper. They believed. Who wouldn't? Oh, but I suppose. All of a sudden there was a challenge, there was a change. And God plundered Egypt from the inside out. It was a hand of God, move of God. And I'm going to tell you something, we're going to be the benefits of what God is going to do to this world inside out. He's going to start with the hearts of men. And he's going to start challenging the hearts of men. He's only even going to get men to prophesy things, men that don't even know Jesus. Annas the high priest, when Jesus went before him, Annas the high priest, prophesied, isn't it expedient for such a man to take away the sins of the world? That's what he said. And it said, he did not say this off. He said this in the Holy Ghost because he was the high priest, but he wasn't saved. Yet he prophesied. So there's going to be prophetic revelation happening all over the world. Prophetic revelation happening all over, warning signs. And because God is going to raise up an army. God is going to raise up an army of deliverers called the Moses generation, I believe, a Moses company of people with a word in their mouth that met their God in the mountaintop experience and allowed the fire to touch them and allow themselves their knee before the Lord and face their fears in life, face their yesterdays, face their horrors of yesterday, face their rejections, face their pain, face their everything of life and decided that Jesus is Lord. Amen. This is yours. Jesus is Lord. Praise God. A Moses generation is a people who will take up the call and pick up the gift and walk by faith in God. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Your stick, your gift, your testimony. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? And all of a sudden, he got deliverance and they started coming out of that line. I'll just talk. He's coming out of Egypt, and all of a sudden they get to an area where they were going to cross over. Migdol, I can't remember the other one, Baal something, Zarephath something, Baal Zephath or something. Anyway, Jesus was mentioned in the Bible. Three, and the waters before them. And all of a sudden they heard the sounds of hoofs and the sound of wheels behind them. All of a sudden Pharaoh decided to get them back. 100 choice chariots, not just any chariot, the choice chariots, the best of the best. I want to teach these Israelites a lesson, he said. I want to teach them a lesson. And all of a sudden, the people started crying out. All of a sudden, the leaf in the camp, why did you bring us out here to die? Wouldn't it be better if you just left us where we were at? At least we had the bar, the leeks and the garlic and our onions. They didn't even have that. It's presumption. They didn't even have that. They barely had time to eat. They had put double portion on them. They had to go and get their own straw. They had to go and get their own clay. They didn't have time for that. Isn't it amazing when even in a bad time you try and think of the good? All he said was this, be still, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, stand. Get your mind still. Stop thinking like that. Be still. Sometimes you've got to speak to your own head. Shut up. Be still. Zip your lip. And no one's around you, but you know, you have to talk to yourself sometimes. You do. You've got to talk to yourself. You've got to say to your soul, shut up, be quiet, for the word of the Lord declares this. I mean, David said it like this. David's a poet, so he says it nice. Oh, my soul, why are you disquieted within me? For yet I shall praise the Lord. I say it like this, shut up. Sometimes you've got to speak to yourself. What's in my hand? What's in your hand? Is still prevalent and relevant? Is a snake still before you? Is that thing which you fear making you fear and run from what God's called you to do? Or will you step out in faith and say, you will not have dominion in my life. You will not have make me captive where I'm at. I will move on in God and pick it up and believe Him and His word and get confidence around yourself. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. All of a sudden, the chariots come. Then God reminds us of something that he was successful in. He says, go to the waters. And in fact, God said this. Shut up, Moses. Stop talking. Because the people had whinged to Moses that much. He told them to shut up, but then he went to God privately and started mouthing off. I mean, he was a brave leader, but he wasn't so brave when he's by himself. And he's no different to any one of us. God says, stop it, Moses. Be quiet. Haven't I told you what to do? He says, what? Go and pick up and raise up your what? The what? The same rod that was thrown to the serpent is the same rod that he was going to lift up to see a people delivered and set free. The same rod that he overcome by fear and faith. The same rod that the devil tried to use him and God turned it to good. The same rod that tried to bring fear and disrepute in his own life and hopelessness and despair, and he ran from, then all of a sudden he had victory over. That same rod, that same rod of faith, that same rod of deliverance, that same rod of hope, that same rod of knowing who God is, lift it up. Lift it up. Because no matter what situation I'm in, He's the same God yesterday, He's the same God today, and He's the same God tomorrow. And He's the deliverer. All He needs to see was what is in my hand. And all of a sudden, the seas parted. Praise God. The seas parted, and it delivered a whole nation. Because someone dared to lift up a stick in front of a water. Sometimes, you know, sometimes in our Christian walks, just sometimes, when God says to do something, zip the lip and just do it. And it might look impossible. Can you? I mean, yeah, I don't know, 3 million people, men, women, and children. Lift up your stick before the waters. I'm doing 12 mile, 14 mile wide. So I don't know how long. Six million eyes looking at you. I mean, that's faith. Maybe I should do it in the cave, Jesus. Can we just do this privately, like the mountaintop experience? And they can all join us after. No. You see, what you overcome in privately gives you power to lead publicly. What you overcome privately gives you a voice publicly. And all of a sudden, faith started to lift up his hand. And when you step out, God meets faith. And then the waters parted. And my Bible says they crossed over on dry ground. That's soggy ground. Dry ground. When God does something, He does it 100%. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is in your hand? Because He's given you something. Amen. And there is a people, I believe, that are waiting to hear what you've got to say. I'm going to say that again. There is a people out there waiting to hear what you have to say. God did this for me. Oh, but I suppose He did that for you. But no. He's the same God. He did it for me. He's no respecter of persons. He'll do it for you. He loves me. Oh, He loves you. He loves you too. Even though where you're at, He loves you exactly the same. He's no respecter of persons. He loves you. All you got to do is come to Him. You have a rod to see a people cross over to the other side from life, from death to life. And then God does the rest. And when the devil has to move and attack what He's blessed, He'll swallow it up. Amen. Is there any Moses in this house that has a word in season? You might be in a place, a desert place. You might have thought you've lost your dream. You might have thought God's given up. You might have thought, well, because of my past and my pain of yesterday and whatever's happened to me, my rejections, God's not doing anything. Well, I'm going to tell you today is your new day. This is the day of new beginnings. This is the first day of the first month. Amen. And if you accept that and you step out by faith and pick up that snake that becomes the rod of testimony in your hand, God will change the world. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. God will change your world. God will change your world. We've got to lay aside the supposes of life. I've got to deal with my unbelief. And don't think it's not uncommon. It's very common. I mean, even one of them, I can't remember, said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." How can belief and unbelief be in the same person? Well, it can. It can. It's just affecting different areas of life. Amen. But I need to pick up my fears and have them under my feet. I've got to pick up my fears and have them under my feet. Amen. God is bigger than my fear. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to reach out? He's given you something in your hand this morning to bring a testimony of the power and the goodness of God, a deliverance to people. We heard a great message there. Be doers of the work. Remember that? We've got to be doers of the work. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. Praise God. Father, Father, Father. Father, Father, Father. I'm going to say a prayer. If you want to join me, that's good. We're going to renounce fear in our lives. We're going to renounce it in Jesus' name. It is not of the Spirit of God. We're going to renounce it. We're going to renounce fear, and we're going to see that thing. We're going to see that thing become a testimony in my life for the goodness of God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come in agreement, Lord, those of us, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say that I've feared sometimes. God, I curse that thing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that's tried to rob me, my future in you. God, I renounce it in Jesus' name. And Father, right now by faith, Lord, by the covenant you've decreed, Father, I reach out and Lord, put that thing under my feet in Jesus' name. And God, allow it to be a testimony of life for the goodness and the glory of the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you for the equipping of the saints in this hour like never before, Father. I thank you, you're bringing up a Moses generation, Father, that God of deliverers, Lord, to see, Father, nations, Father, delivered, communities delivered, households delivered, households restored. Father, that which the devil's brought back tenfold, Lord, did to Egypt, Father, you emptied it from the inside out. God, I thank you, Lord, what the devil before me, one way, you're going to scatter seven ways before me. I thank you, my God, what he's robbed from me, you're going to cause him to pay back tenfold in the name of Jesus. So God, we give you praise that we as a church are going to come into the mission of it, join as one man, join in one heart, join Father, to come together in the power of agreement this morning, to enter in the purposes of God this morning. And we give you praise and glory. We're going to see multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, emptied for the glory of the kingdom. We're going to see families touched. We're going to see people restored. We're going to see kids healed, delivered from drugs, in the name of Jesus. We're going to see young children full of the power and the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. This morning is a new beginning for West Point City Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God. I want to just remind you over again. He's equipped you. If he's asked you, you've already got everything you need. You've just got to take a hold of it by faith. Amen. God bless you. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee, some fellowship. That would be great. Amen.